clouds and a crescent moon are reflected in a pool of water. A fishing line drops in, causing ripples. A boy sits in the crook of the crescent moon with his fishing rod. The moon becomes the curve of a letter D, and more letters form behind the clouds. DreamWorks SKG. Words appear. The motion picture you are about to see is an adaptation of the Exodus story. While artistic and historical license has been taken, we believe that this film is true to the essence, values, and integrity of a story that is a cornerstone of faith for millions of people worldwide. The biblical story of Moses can be found in the book of Exodus. Titles appear. DreamWorks Pictures presents. The Prince of Egypt. Blushing shades of violet and rosy pink shimmer inside the letters. The title fades, replaced by swirling, similarly hued clouds in an elegantly animated cartoon. The darker mist falls away, revealing a golden sky and a formation of orange clouds that resembles twisting flames. The clouds slowly scatter to reveal the sun glaring through the haze. The fiery clouds disperse to fully reveal the blazing sun. Dust billows upward under the chin of a massive stone face. Hundreds of laborers pull ropes, stretching to the monument. A man's legs heavily churn mud. Sand is added to the mixture. Poured water douses workers. Men heave straw. Under the whip, loin-clothed slaves press the mixture into molds, haul bricks on pallets, and drive hoes into dry earth. Huge pouches of water are lifted by wooden hand-powered devices resembling cranes. Faster! Slaves raise a lofty statue. It has the head of a falcon. An old man falls. A younger man helps him up. Huge statues and towers dwarf the thousands of slaves working the site. The view moves toward a citadel on the far side of a wide river. Among modest earthen shelters on a hillside, a young woman keeps out of sight as soldiers pass with spears. Two children watch her address a baby in her arms.
My son. I have nothing I can give but this chance that you may live. I pray we'll meet again.
Soldiers raid homes. One raises a blade over a straw cradle. The mother and her two children run, sneaking away. They successfully avoid the soldiers. Away from the city, they reach the river. They walk among tall reed-like papyrus plants, each topped with feathery green leaves resembling pom-poms. The older child, a girl, opens a lidded basket beside the river. The baby smiles and grips his mother's finger.
Sleep and remember my last lullaby, so I'll be with you when you dream.
Lying in the basket, the baby lets go of his mother's withdrawn finger, and she kisses his head. Replacing the lid, she seals her baby inside. She sets it afloat. As the swell carries the basket away, tears trail from the mother's eyes. The baby's sister pushes stalks aside to glimpse the drifting basket. Three curious monkeys on a branch watch it pass. Fish leap energetically out of the water all around the basket. Then birds swoop low for a look. The fishes scatter as a huge crocodile surges up from the deep and opens its jaws wide. Its chomp misses as bathing hippopotami splash in the arm, sending the little basket rocking left and right. Running through the tall papyrus, the young girl gawks. A net raised from the water catches the basket along with dozens of flappy fish. As fishermen hoist the net, the basket drops free. Now, large boats close in around the basket. The little girl gapes from the shallows as long oars powered by men climb through the water and toss the basket about. A boat's wooden hull collides with the basket and sends it drifting toward a gleaming stone palace. A breeze parts two curtains out of the basket's way, and cranes take flight as the container enters a fancy water garden. A woman with a gold headband holds a toddler. She gives a water lily to the child, then spots the basket. The baby's sister watches from behind a curtain as the stately woman opens the basket. Peering in, she gasps, then smiles at the chubby infant. The baby holds his toes and beams. His sister sighs with a relieved smile. The stately young woman cuddles the foundling.
Grow, baby brother, come back someday. Come and deliver us too.
The adoring woman rejoins women with chin-length hair, who quickly bow their heads. The toddler reaches for a hug and grabs his mother's dress as she passes.
We will show Pharaoh your new baby brother.
She touches the baby's nose.
Moses.
Now slaves work on rickety scaffolds hundreds of feet high. At the construction site, slaves work high up on a monumental replica of a long, stern face. Far beyond it, the Nile spans the horizon and the royal palace gleams in the distance, cut to black. Two regal men in chariots race each other past columns and ornately painted walls. The leading driver sports a high ponytail on his otherwise bald head.
Hey, Ramesses, how'd you like your face carved on a wall? Someday, yes! How about now?
The younger driver, goateed with shoulder-length hair, sideswipes Ramesses' chariot into the wall.
You almost killed me!
Oh, come on! Where's your sense of fun?
Oh, it's fun, you want!
Ramesses steers his two horses to broadside his younger brother, but his quick-thinking rival immediately slows down, leaving Ramesses to go wildly down a sandy embankment. His horse's scuffling hooves slow them down, and they arrive safely at the bottom.
Oh, Moses?
Ramesses ducks as Moses jumps his horses and chariot off a ledge above him. The older prince swiftly gives chase. Both reach a dune overlooking a riverfront city. On a street, a wooden board game vibrates. The two players and their friends jump to avoid being hit by the chariots. Moses and Ramesses each make a right turn. Ramesses takes a path higher up than Moses.
Come on, Moses. Admit it. You've always looked up to me.
Yes, but it's not much of a view.
Ramesses' short kilt-like skirt flaps in the wind. As Moses laughs, Ramesses drops onto the street right in front of him and takes the lead.
Second ball! Second place!
Not for long!
Far ahead, a short, chubby nobleman and a tall, skinny one walk with others between rows of temple columns. Meanwhile, Ramesses leads the way on a rickety scaffold. Moses gapes at the platform's end, dead ahead. Acting fast, he makes a hairpin turn and just escapes falling over the edge. Nearby, a ladder gets knocked out from under a painter. As the man swings on a rope, his brush makes a smile on the giant pharaoh head he's working on. The entire scaffold falls, and a stack of bricks upon it cracks the nose off the pharaoh face. Above Moses and Ramesses, the enormous nose crashes down through level after level of the scaffold ramps. The two princes barely manage to escape out from under it as it hits the sandy ground. Ramesses and Moses each yank hard on their reins, stopping their horses just shy of a steep drop. The ledge is at the top of a man-made wall, held up by long, leaning poles. Ramesses and Moses grin at each other. Both men frown as the sand before them starts to drain away. The buttressed wall at their feet gives way like a breaking dam, and the sand pours forth like rushing water. Moses and Ramesses gape as a steep drop opens up before them like a giant crashing wave. The brothers ride down. As the noblemen below hurry to escape the wave of sand, Ramesses and Moses gleefully ride it through a narrower colonnade. The sand settles as it pours out an archway, and the two princes drive their chariot side by side into the daylight. Both ride hard toward the distant palace.
You don't think we'll get in trouble for this, do you?
No, not a chance.
Now in the palace.
Why do the gods torment me with such reckless, destructive, blasphemous sons?
Father, hear what
Be still, Pharaoh speaks.
The two head noblemen stand by.
I seek to build an empire. And your only thought is to amuse yourselves by tearing it down. Have I taught you nothing?
You mustn't be so hard on yourself, Your Majesty. You're an excellent teacher.
It's not your fault your sons learned nothing.
Well, they learned blasphemy.
True.
Father, the fault is mine. I goaded Ramesses on, and so I am responsible.
Responsible. And do you know the meaning of that word, Ramesses?
I understand, Father.
And do you understand the task for which your birth has destined you? The ancient traditions? When I pass into the next world, then you will be the morning and evening star.
One damaged temple does not destroy centuries of tradition.
But one weak link can break the chain of a mighty dynasty!
As Ramesses hangs his head, the Egyptian queen gently takes hold of the pharaoh's arm and looks compassionately at her older son. The pharaoh's gaze softens.
You have my leave to go.
He turns away.
Father.
As Ramesses steps forward, reaching out, his mother halts him with her upheld hand. Ramesses bitterly marches away. Moses peers after him and sees the scolded prince angrily plunges fists at his sides. Moses turns to the pharaoh.
Father.
He takes a step forward.
You know it was really my fault. Must you be so hard on him?
Moses, you will never have to carry a burden like the crown I will pass to Ramesses. He must not allow himself to be led astray. Not even by you, my son.
He rests a hand on Moses' shoulder.
All he cares about is your approval. I know he will live up to your expectations. He only needs the opportunity.
Maybe. Maybe so. Go now. I shall see you both tonight.
Moses bows and leaves. The watchful queen stands behind her husband and lays a hand on his shoulder. In a distant view, the pharaoh, the queen, and Moses show his tiny silhouettes against the wide view of the city. Later, Moses sews a small pouch.
Well, that went well.
Just go away.
Could have been worse.
The weak link in the chain. That's what he called me.
Ramesses sits on a huge statue's lap.
Well, you are rather pathetic.
Irresponsible, ignorant of the traditions. He practically accused me of bringing down the dynasty.
Yeah, I can see it now. There go the pyramids.
Ramesses hops down.
You can laugh about it.
Statues cracking and toppling over, the Nile drying up.
He fills his pouch at a basin.
You will manage to bring the greatest kingdom on earth to ruin.
Tell me this, Moses, tell me this. Why is it that every time you start something, I'm the one who ends up in trouble?
Moses drops the full pouch over a railing, soaking the two noble advisors below.
Ramesses, you're in trouble,
Ramesses,
young man.
Get down here. I think you owe us an apology.
Moses holds the basin out to Ramesses.
So you might as well.
Ramesses smiles, accepts the large bowl, and empties it over the rail.
I figured it out. You know what your problem is, Ramesses?
What?
You care too much.
And your problem is you don't care at all.
Oh, in that case, I suppose you care a lot more than I do that we're late for the banquet, for example?
Ramesses' smile vanishes. Later, a servant spruces them up as they run.
I'm done for. Father will kill me.
Don't worry. Nobody will even notice us coming in.
Moses shoves his brother through a curtain and stumbles as he joins him. Countless guests cheer.
Nobody will even notice.
Otis.
Ah, the young princes. Rameses, you were just named Prince Regent. You are now responsible for overseeing all the temples. I suggest you get over there and thank your father.
Rameses obeys.
Apparently, Moses, someone thought he just needed the opportunity.
Moses hurries over to the Pharaoh and Rameses.
My Lord Pharaoh, I propose that the high priests offer tribute to their new regent.
An excellent idea. Hotep, point.
Point.
Hmm?
The Midian girl. That's a good idea.
Go get her.
The chubby Hotep presents.
By the power of Ra, we present for your delectation and delight an exotic apparition stolen from faraway land.
He conjures a cloud, then a curtain shelter, which falls away to reveal a young woman on a camel with her wrists bound. The princes smile at her smittenly.
We offer you this delicate desert flower.
Hotep yanks the woman by her robe. As she stumbles before the princes and glares at them, Rameses approaches.
Let us inspect this desert flower.
As he grips her chin, she snaps at him.
More like a desert cobra.
Not much of a snake charmer, are you?
That's why I give her to you.
No, that's generous, but...
I won't be given to anyone, especially an arrogant, pampered palace brat.
Are you gonna let her talk to you like that?
You will show the proper respect for a prince of Egypt.
But I am showing you all the respect you deserve. None!
She takes control of the rope and swings it overhead.
Be still.
Moses grabs the loose end.
Command, you set me free!
Be still!
Let's go!
As you wish.
Ah!
Moses lets go, and the woman falls into a reflecting pool. Moses looks to his parents. As his mother shamefully hangs her head, Moses' smile vanishes. Rameses approaches, laughing.
You there, half a dried up, sent to Prince Moses Chambers. If it pleases you, father, my first act as regent is to appoint Moses as royal chief architect.
Rameses removes a blue scarab beetle ring from his finger, puts it on Moses' hand, and raises his brother's arm victoriously. Moses smiles at the gift, then gazes sadly at the young woman being led away. Dripping wet, she glowers at him. The wide-eyed prince bites his lip. Later, the double doors to a chamber swing open. Moses stands on the other side, his features frozen in a wince. A sheer curtain shows a curvaceous silhouette kneeling upon a bed carved to resemble a sleek cat.
Well, right.
Moses finds a servant, bound and gagged on his bed. Moses sees two guard dogs bound and gagged also, then notices a curtain tied around a column slung over a parapet. In a courtyard below, the young woman quietly leads her camel on its rope. The firelight from a flaming basin casts their shadows on the wall. Moses quietly climbs down to watch. As the woman heads for an open doorway, she fails to see two guards approaching the same spot.
Guards!
They face him.
Prince Moses!
Unaware of the woman several yards behind them, the guards stand at attention, framing Moses' view of her.
There's a man tied up in my room. Well, look into it.
Right away, sir.
Moses smiles. Turning, he finds the woman and her camel gone. He hastens outside and squints into the darkness, vaguely making out the woman and her camel. Moses jogs after them. He keeps out of sight as he finds her at a well with a young man and woman. The camel gets up off its knees. As the woman rides off on her camel, Moses jogs out from his hiding place, standing in the dim plaza. He watches the trotting camel and its rider grow distant and small. Moses' attention drops to a tiny commotion at his feet.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
She collects broken shards.
Oh, please forgive me. I didn't expect to see you here. Of all places, at our door.
Moses smiles uncertainly.
At last.
At last?
Didn't I tell you, Aaron? Miriam. Didn't I tell you? I knew he would return to us when he was ready.
Miriam, do you want us flogged?
I knew you cared about our freedom.
Miriam. Freedom? Why would I care about that?
Because you're our brother.
What?
As Aaron stares wide-eyed, Miriam slouches.
They never told you?
Who never told me what?
Moses straightens, hands on his hips.
But you're here. You must know.
Be careful, slave.
Oh, my good prince. She's exhausted from the day's work. Not that it was too much. We quite enjoyed it, but she's confused and knows not to whom she speaks.
I know to whom I speak, Aaron. I know who you are, and you are not a prince of Egypt.
Miriam,
what did you say?
Oh, Your Highness, pay her no heed. Come, Miriam. May I discuss something
no,
with you?
Aaron, no, please, Moses, you must believe.
That's enough.
You were born of my mother, Yocheved.
Stop it.
You are our brother.
Now you go too far. You shall be punished.
No, please. Your Highness, she's ill. She's very ill. We beg your forgiveness. Please, Miriam,
no,
let us go.
Our mother set you adrift in a
Miriam.
Basket to save your life.
Save my life? From who?
Ask the man that you call father.
How dare you?
God saved you to be our deliverer.
Enough of this.
And you are, Moses. You are the deliverer.
I said enough!
Moses grabs her wrist and forces her down.
You will regret this night.
As the prince storms away, Miriam draws herself into a kneeling position. Her head hung low. She keeps her eyes shut.
Hush now, my baby. Be still, love. Don't cry.
Moses halts, his eyes widening.
Sleep as you're rocked by the stream.
The wind ruffles her hair.
Sleep and remember my last lullaby.
Moses stares.
So I'll be with you when you dream.
Tears gleam on her cheeks as she lifts her sorrowful gaze to her princely brother. Moses' chest heaves. He dizzily turns away and runs. Moses crashes into an old man and lands on top of him. As the prince recovers, the old man trembles. Other slaves look on. The prince frantically races up the steps of a dark alley and halts to catch his breath. Before him, he can make out the palace in the distance, flanked by two huge sphinx-like statues. Moses resumes his hard run, heading for the palace.
Gleaming in the moonlight, cool and clean and all I've ever known, all I ever wanted.
The gigantic entryway makes him appear tiny.
Sweet perfumes of incense.
He leans on a huge column.
Graceful rooms of alabaster stone, all I ever wanted. This is my home, with my father, mother, brother, oh so noble, oh so strong. Now I am home.
He enters his room.
Here among my trappings and belongings I belong. And if anybody doubts it, they couldn't be more wrong.
His dogs greet him.
I am a sovereign prince of Egypt, a son of the proud history that's shown, heads on every wall. Surely this is all I ever wanted, all I ever wanted.
He sits on the floor.
All I ever
Moses closes his eyes and rests his head on a pillar ornately carved and painted with hieroglyphics. His brow shifts uneasily, then relaxes. The view moves closer to one of his closed eyes. The smooth texture of his skin suddenly turns to stone, and an illustrated eye opens on a wall. The prince appears as an illustration etched among detailed hieroglyphs. The two-dimensional prince sees a larger illustration of the pharaoh point at him. Moses gapes as dozens of painted soldiers obediently march his way. The illustration of Moses runs around a corner in the wall and hides among a cluster of drawn papyrus plants. The hustling soldiers pass him by and overtake a dozen painted columns on their way to another room's decorated walls. One mural shows the humble earthen shelters of the Hebrew people. The illustrated soldiers invade the neighborhood, throwing aside pleading women and grabbing up babies. One is plucked from a cradle, another is yanked from a mother's arms. The illustrated Moses gawks as a soldier pulls a woman backward by her hair, so a second can snatch her infant. The wall paintings show Yocheved, Aaron, and Miriam hurrying away with baby Moses. The escaping family sneaks around a column to avoid passing soldiers, then briefly takes to the ceiling to dodge another squad. As Moses' fully grown illustration races to catch up, young Aaron leads his mother and sister through dense papyrus to the water's edge. Yokevit sets baby Moses in the basket and withdraws her loving hand from his tiny gripping fingers. Fully grown Moses watches as Yokevit sets the basket adrift on the water. A tear spills from his eye, then he flips around to see the hordes of soldiers heading his way. As he runs from the tips of their spears, he goes over a ledge and plummets past the sun into the blue Nile. Wavy red lines replace the blue as helpless infants plunge with him. The real Moses wakes up. He rubs his face, then his gaze fixes upward. His eyes widen, then narrow, and he grits his teeth. Now his lone form carries a lit torch as he runs across a cavernous room. He halts on the decorated floor, glances right and left, then moves on with a determined frown. The weak glow from his torch travels behind massive silhouetted columns. Moses holds the torch aloft to inspect the wall of ornate hieroglyphs, then makes his way down a narrow passage. In another chamber, he finds wall paintings that show the pharaoh ordering soldiers to throw babies into the Nile, where crocodiles wait with open jaws. The horrifying mural looms 40 feet tall before Moses. He lets go of the torch, then drops to his knees, keeping his hand and head pressed to the wall. An outstretched hand comes to rest on his head.
The Hebrews grew too numerous. They might have risen against us.
Father, tell me you didn't do this.
Moses, sometimes for the greater good, sacrifices must be made.
Moses gets to his feet and rests a hand on one of the painted infants falling upside down into the Nile.
Sacrifices.
Moses glares at the Pharaoh, who hugs him.
Oh, my son. They were only slaves.
Moses' eyes widen, and he pulls out of the embrace, shaking his head slowly. He slowly backs away from the Pharaoh, into the shadows, and hurries away. In the water garden, several birds land in the shallows. Moses sits on the nearby steps with his lips resting on his folded hands.
Moses?
The queen approaches him.
Is this where you found me?
Moses, please try to understand.
He slowly looks over his shoulder at her.
So everything I thought, everything I am, is a lie.
No. You are our son, and we love you.
Why did you choose me?
We didn't, Moses. The gods did.
As Moses hangs his head, the queen rests a hand on his shoulder, then sits beside him.
This is your home, my son. Here the river brought you, and it's here the river meant to be your home. Now you know the truth, love. Now forget and be content. When the gods send you a blessing, you don't ask why it was sent.
Moses meets her kindly gaze, then leans close and hugs her. The soaring columns of the water garden dwarf the embracing parent and child. The view fades to the glaring sun. Stacks of rolled scrolls drop into view.
Last night, the gods granted me a vision. I'm not merely going to restore this temple. I will make it more grand, more splendid than any other monument in Upper or Lower Egypt.
As Moses walks past toiling slaves, one man gets whipped. A foreman threatens to lash slaves pulling ropes. Moses notices other slaves hunched under the weight of sacks on their backs. The prince sadly watches the hands of a rope-pulling slave squeezing the thick, rough cord. Moses tries to move on, but stops as he sees a sack-bearing man stumble, only to get whipped. Moses exhales heavily. As he turns, he nearly bumps into another sack-bearer. A smiling Ramesses greets Moses from behind.
Moses! Look, fate has turned our little misadventure into a great opportunity. I know Father will be so pleased with what you are.
Put your back into it!
Working nearby, Miriam directs Aaron's attention to the foreman. He turns away.
And this is just the beginning.
Moses slouches.
A gateway will open to an entire new city of white.
Ramesses walks Moses to a table by Hoi and Hotep.
And here, a statue of Hathor.
The foreman forces the old man down on all fours.
Stop it! Somebody's got to stop this!
There's nothing that we can do.
Moses watches Aaron hold Miriam back. He then sees the foreman whipping the frail old man, and he hurries forward. Moses gawks at the violence, then his eyes narrow.
Stop it.
Stop! Stop it! Leave that man alone!
Ramesses turns.
Moses!
As the foreman raises his whip again, Moses lunges to restrain him. Both stumble, and the foreman falls off the scaffold, plummeting more than 100 feet.
Out of my way! Out of my way! Move!
Another foreman pushes through the slaves.
Who did this?
Up there! It's him! Down there!
The foreman and slaves on the ground peer up at Moses, who stares downward with a horrified gaze. As the prince turns, other slaves gathered behind him back away. Miriam and Aaron stand among them. As Moses runs, Miriam grabs him.
Moses!
The prince shakes her off and dashes away from the worksite. Sprinting downhill, he trips and rolls in the sand, then continues on. Ramesses takes hold of him.
What's going on? Moses!
He shoves his brother off and races past the slaves. A distant view shows his tiny form running toward the palace. Ramesses drives his chariot after him. Ramesses passes his brother and heads him off.
Moses, let me go!
No, wait!
You saw what happened. I just killed a man.
We can take care of that. I will make it so it never happened.
Nothing you can say can change what I've done.
I am Egypt, the morning and the evening star. If I say day is night, it will be written. And you will be what I say you are. I say you are innocent.
What you say does not matter. You don't understand. I can't stay here any longer.
Moses!
No! All I've ever known to be true is a lie.
Moses wheels on his brother, then softens.
I'm not who you think I am.
What are you talking about?
Go ask the man I once called father.
Moses turns away and straightens as he leaves Ramesses behind.
Moses?
The younger prince glowers at his sad-faced brother.
Please.
Moses' stern expression softens remorsefully as Ramesses reaches out to him.
Goodbye, brother.
Moses shakes his head and runs for a towering canyon before them.
Moses! Moses!
Moses keeps his eyes shut as he runs, and his hurrying image fades against the glaring sunlight of the desert. Later, swirled dunes fill the horizon before his tiny form, which leaves a trail of footprints in the sand. A dusty wind passes over the ground and erases them. At dusk, Moses skids a little as he makes his way down a sandstone slope. By night, dusty winds blast him head-on as he shields his eyes with one arm and holds his other straight ahead. On another sunny day, he stumbles across a shallow gully. Later, as he crosses cracked, flat terrain, his steps are much heavier and slower than before. One dune that he encounters is so steep, he has to use his hands and feet to hold it and sidle across its face. His wandering takes him past towering formations of jagged rock. Each view shows him looking smaller and smaller against the barren desert. The view whites out, then focuses through a glaringly bright haze on his shambling form. He trips on a sharp crag, which tears his sandal. Moses glares at the useless shoe and throws it. He tears off his gold breastplate, arm bangles, and gauntlets, then removes his blue scarab ring. As he turns it in his fingers, his intense gaze softens and he closes his eyes. Moses puts the ring back on, then tugs the shoulder-length wig off his head, exposing his short, messy hair. He pitches the wig into the dust, and the wind buries it in sand. Moses kneels in the harsh desert wind, his shoulders stooped low. In front of him, a massive dust cloud advances toward him. Eyes closed, Moses lifts his chin and lets the storm overtake him. As it passes, all that's left above ground is the tufts of hair atop his head, which resemble a little patch of grass. A camel's bulky feet pad by, briefly giving it shade. The animal's muzzle takes a sniff, bites onto the hair, and yanks up Moses' head like a turnip. As it chews on a mouthful of hair, slobber rains down. The camel spits the hair back at Moses' head and moves on. Watching the riderless animal, Moses eyes a full water sack by its saddle and climbs free of the sand.
Hey, wait!
He catches up.
Please.
As he holds onto the camel's water sack, the indifferent camel drags him along. Later, the crook of his limp arm is the only thing that keeps him attached. The camel steps past sheep and palm trees. Moses' head bumps into a stone water basin where a sheep drinks happily. The parched man plunges his head into the water and guzzles. As he comes up for air, a ram stares at him. The animal's jaw drops at the sight of the bedraggled human. Moses sees two tall men at a well, pushing aside three young girls. Moses' drowsy face energizes to a keen smirk as he spots the men's two camels tethered to a stake in the ground. As Moses unties the camels, the two men shove the girls.
Hey, you!
They eye Moses.
Aren't these your camels?
Both men gawk at him. Moses spurs the camels to run away, and the two men hurry after them. The three girls slowly turn to face the broad-shouldered stranger. Moses totters woozily and leans heavily on the well. Its stone side gives and he falls in. The girls peek over the well rim, then pull hard on the rope. The escaped young woman approaches.
What are you girls doing?
We're trying to get the funny man out of the well.
Trying to get the funny man out of the well. Well, that's one I've never heard before. Don't worry down there. We'll get you out. Hold on.
As the woman helps the girls pull, they hoist Moses into view, clutching the rope.
You.
The woman lets go of the rope. With a smirk, the woman gives her top a smart tug and struts off.
Mm-hmm.
The two younger girls look at the eldest.
That's why Papa says she'll never get married.
Later, in a tent, three elderly women drench and scrub Moses.
You don't have to do this. Ladies, please, I'm really quite a... No, not there, please. The tickles. Ladies, you've cleaned every inch of me. Whoa, I was wrong.
Let me through. I want to see him.
A robust man hugs Moses.
You are most welcome. You should not be a stranger in this land. You have been sent as a blessing. And tonight, you shall be my honored guest.
He slings a robe around Moses and leaves.
My father, Jethro, high priest of Midian.
Moses stares. At night outside, a mother and child chat beside a tapestry on a stand. Moses peeks over the hanging cloth at people gathered around the fire. The littlest girl from the well tugs his robe.
Sit with me.
Moses joins the circle.
All right.
Sitting between the girl and the young woman, he reaches for some fruit.
Not yet.
Oh, sorry.
My children, let us give thanks for this bountiful food. And let us also give thanks for the presence of this brave young man whom we honor here tonight.
Jethro touches Moses' shoulder.
Please, sir, I wish you wouldn't. I've done nothing in my life worth honoring.
The young Midianite woman and her father frown at Moses.
First you rescue Zipporah from Egypt, then you defend my younger daughters from brigands. You think that is nothing? It seems you do not know what is worthy of honor.
A single thread in a tapestry, though its color brightly shine, can never see its purpose in the pattern of the grand design. And the stone that sits on the very top of the mountain's mighty face, does it think it's more important than the stones that form the base? So how can you see what your life is worth or where your value lies? You can never see through the eyes of man. You must look at your life. Look at your life through heaven's eyes.
Three women nearby play musical instruments. As the people dance in a circle around the fire, Jethro dances with his youngest, who runs over to Moses.
Dance with me.
I don't know how.
One of her sisters retrieves her. As Moses smiles, night changes to day. Now sporting a trim beard and mustache, she joins other men pulling ropes to raise a large tent.
A lake of gold in the desert sand is less than a cool fresh spring. And to one lost sheep, a shepherd boy is greater than the richest king.
Zipporah gives him a staff.
If a man lose everything he owns, has he truly lost his worth? Or is it the beginning of a new and brighter birth?
He delivers a newborn lamb.
So how do you measure the worth of a man in wealth or strength or size? In how much he gained or how much he gave?
Moses leaves Zipporah with his staff. She finds a small bouquet attached.
The answer will come to him who tries to look at his life through heaven's eyes.
Moses plays with Jethro's youngest.
And that's why we share all we have with you, though there's little to be found. When all you've got is nothing, there's a lot to go around.
At night, Moses watches the others dance.
No life can escape being blown about by the winds of change and chance. And no, you never know all the steps.
Dance with me.
No, you must learn to join the dance.
She draws him into the circle.
You must learn to join the dance.
Moses and Zipporah each grip an end of a cloth and circle one another. Zipporah twirls, wrapping her waist in the cloth, then spins out. Her sisters watch and whisper. Now, the silhouettes of Moses, Jethro, and Zipporah show on a tense fabric. Moses and Zipporah each gesture, then Jethro hugs them both. People throw flower petals into the air on another desert night as Moses and Zipporah are joined as husband and wife. The newlyweds dance.
So, how do you judge what a man is worth by what he builds or buys? You can never see with your eyes on earth. Look through heaven's eyes and look at your life. Look at your life. Look at your life through heaven's eyes.
A distant view shows purple mountains surrounding the Midianites as they dance around a blazing bonfire. In the morning, a colorful tapestry hangs beside Zipporah, who lies sound asleep. Moses gently caresses her cheek with the back of his fingers, then leans in to kiss the same spot. Zipporah stirs contentedly. He smiles softly at her. Dressed in his shepherding robes, Moses leaves her side and grins at the view from their tent. The sky glows in hues of gold and peach above his grazing flock. Moses breathes in the morning air. Later, he watches over the flock with his staff balanced on his shoulder. Later still, he reaches down to one of the sheep and pats its woolly coat. As a lamb scampers up a nearby slope, Moses takes a resigned breath with a good-humored half-smile. He follows after it. The lamb merrily keeps its lead.
It's too early for this.
Using his staff for balance, Moses steps into a shadowy stone passageway. He passes through a shaft of silvery light and immediately backs up for a better look at its source. He looks over his shoulder. Turning away, Moses proceeds toward the silvery light, crouching low as he descends into a cave. As shimmering patterns of light play on the walls, Moses spots a tiny leafless bush in the chamber. While its branches glow with wispy, violet-hued fire, they remain unburned. Moses cautiously extends the end of his wooden staff into the purplish flames. When he withdraws it, he finds it undamaged. He touches the end without burning himself. Cocking an eyebrow, he reaches his hand into the fire. The lapping flames dance harmlessly between and around his fingers. The shepherd looks around. Moses slowly turns a circle where he stands.
Here I am.
Take the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you stand is holy ground.
As Moses looks down, he sees rolling pebbles clearing away from the source of the light. He faces the burning bush with wide eyes.
Who are you?
The burning bush flashes.
I am that I am.
I don't understand.
I am the God of your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Moses drops his staff and quickly removes his sandals.
You were born of my mother, Yocheved.
Moses tosses them behind him. The light turns golden.
What do you want with me?
I have seen the oppression of my people in Egypt and have heard their cry.
Stop it! Leave that man alone!
So I have come down to deliver them out of slavery and bring them to a good land. A land flowing with milk and honey. And so unto Pharaoh I shall send you.
Me? Who am I to lead these people? They'll never believe me. They won't even listen.
I shall teach you what to say.
Let my people go!
But I was their enemy. I was the prince of Egypt, the son of the man who slaughtered their children. You've chosen the wrong messenger. How can I even speak to these people?
Who made man's mouth? Who made the deaf, the mute, the seeing, or the blind? Did not I? Now go!
Healthy leaves now cover the bush as the light glares, then fades. As Moses huddles in the shadows, catching his breath, the wispy, violent glow returns. Hazy tendrils of light gently surround him.
Oh, Moses, I shall be with you when you go to the king of Egypt.
They lift him.
But Pharaoh will not listen.
His robes billow in the glimmering, swirling light.
So I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders.
The dazzling light bursts overhead and shines in Moses' eyes.
Take the staff in your hand, Moses. With it, you shall do my wonders.
As Moses stares and listens, the shimmering light fades. A tear gleams on his cheek. Moses raises a trembling hand toward his face, then turns his attention to the staff on the ground beside him. His eyes narrow as he reaches for it. Still wearing the scarab ring from Ramesses, he leans on the staff to hoist himself to his feet. In front of him, the tiny bush stands covered plentifully in green leaves, and small white petals fall from its branches. The wandering lamb leaves the passage. Following it, Moses steps onto a stone ledge and blinks in the daylight as he looks out. The view revolves around him to reveal the Midianite camp nestled among the mountains below. Moses peers over his shoulder, grins joyfully, and starts downhill. Joining Zipporah inside their tent, he lifts her in his arms and twirls her. Moses hugs his wife, then sets her down on her feet and gestures energetically, telling his story. When Zipporah shrugs curiously, Moses shows his bare feet, goes up on tiptoe, and partially lifts his robes. As Zipporah sits listening, Moses looks around, locates his staff, and eagerly shows it to her. As he strides around her, explaining, she bows her head. His young wife remains downcast.
But Moses, you're just one man.
He sits beside her and gently turns her face toward his.
Zipporah.
She angrily averts her gaze.
Please.
Her expression softens as she faces him.
Look at your family.
Her father and sisters chat by a weaver's loom.
They are free. They have a future. They have hopes and dreams, and the promise of a life with dignity.
Moses turns to Zipporah.
That is what I want for my people. And that is why I must do the task that God has given me.
As Jethro and his youngest daughter step away, a young couple passes with a small herd of sheep. Zipporah meets Moses' gaze, smiles peacefully, and hugs her husband.
I'm coming with you.
The view fades to reveal Jethro, his daughters, and other Midianites waving goodbye as Moses and Zipporah ride a camel into the distance. All but the camel and its two riders fade from view. The landscape around them is replaced by an endless span of sand dunes, which soon fade to reveal the outskirts of the Egyptian city. Now, four male slaves with lash marks crisscrossing their backs push against the wall, the harsh sun casting their shadows across the stone. A ghostly image of Moses and Zipporah arriving on their camel overlaps the view of a young, long-faced slave baring his gritted teeth as he pushes. A transparent view of Moses' face overlaps a scene of a bandaged slave boy falling on all fours, only to be grabbed up by his hair. The overlapping imagery continues as a frail old man struggles to churn mud with his feet. His exhausted gaze partially frames Moses' determined frown. The tragic image fades, leaving Moses' stern countenance to fill our view. The view fades to a dim space. Two palace doors open to reveal a vast throne room. Egyptians gather to the left and right of a center aisle, which ends at dancers twirling ribbons before a dais. Moses and Zipporah scan their surroundings as they make their way on foot past staring people. Many of the Egyptian men and women stare wide-eyed at the two visitors. As Moses and Zipporah proceed, the dancers crouch, letting their ribbons fall to reveal Rameses on his throne. The king halts all activity by raising a hand. His eyes widen at Moses.
Rameses?
The new pharaoh stands.
Moses? Is it really?
Hotep and Hoi swap looks. As Rameses descends from his throne, the dancers clear the floor.
Moses!
Rameses!
Rameses grabs his brother in a bear hug.
Look at you! Pharaoh!
But look at you! What on earth are you dressed as?
Oh, Rameses! It's so good to see you.
Excuse me, Your Majesty. We are compelled to remind you that this man committed a serious crime against the gods.
We are loath to bring it up, mind you.
Yet the law clearly states the punishment for such a crime.
Death!
We hesitate to say it.
Be still. Pharaoh speaks. I am the morning and the evening star.
Rameses.
It shall be as I say. I pardon forever all crimes of which he stands accused, and will have it known that he is our brother Moses, the Prince of Egypt.
Moses shuts his eyes and bows his head.
Rameses, in my heart you are my brother. But things cannot be as they were.
I see no reason why not.
You know I am a Hebrew. And the God of the Hebrews came to me.
What?
He commands that you let his people go.
Rameses backs away from Moses and curiously shrugs his open hands.
Commands?
Moses holds his staff aloft, then plants it down before him.
Behold, the power of God.
As he lets go, the staff stays standing. It shudders, then softens at the bottom, transforming into a coiled cobra. Rameses stands his ground, unflinching, with his hands on his hips. Zipporah and the Egyptians gawk.
Wow, impressive. Very well, Moses. I'll play along. Hotep, Hoi, give this snake charmer our answer.
Pharaoh steps aside with a young boy of 7 or 8 years in age. The two priestly advisors gesture to servants on high platforms. The servants pull ropes and make large shades descend, darkening the huge room. Two servants use mirrors to reflect sunbeams on Hotep and Hoi. The magicians stand one before the other, strike poses, and produce a curtain of smoke.
By the power of Ra!
Shadowy figures appear.
Moot.
Fires illuminate statues and walls of hieroglyphics.
Hanum.
Neftis.
Nakmet.
Sobek.
Sakmet.
The magicians conjure symbols and statues emerge from smoke.
Anubis.
Anukis.
Seshmu.
Meshet.
Hotep and Hoi make shadows with their hands to show a scorpion, then a frog. Next, they blow fire. Rameses looks down at Moses, who stands as a speck amid four towering statues. Atop one, Hotep claps two bowls together.
So you think you've got friends in high places?
They emit smoke.
With the power to put us on the run.
Well, forgive us these smiles on our faces. You'll know what power is when we are done, son.
Both appear behind Moses.
You're playing with the big boys now.
Playing with the big boys now.
Oh, that's pretty. Every spell and gesture tells you who's the best. You're playing with the big boys now.
Priest's violin.
You're playing with the big boys now. You're playing with the big boys now. Stop this foolish mission.
What's a true magician?
Give an exhibition how.
Pick up your silly twig, boy.
You're playing with the big boys now.
Foy and Hotep each accept a staff from a court priest and twirl the long sticks around and around. They toss them high and catch them, then clash them together, causing a brilliant flash. Moses averts his eyes from the glare. Standing aside, Zipporah glares at the priests. Hotep and Hoy dance forward, each holding a cobra. The two snakes circle Moses' head, then slither toward his cobra.
By the might of Horus, you will kneel before us. Kneel to our splendorous power.
You put up a front, you put up a fight.
And just to show we feel no spite,
you can be our acolyte.
But first, boy, it's time to bow. Or it's your own grave you'll dig. Or you're playing with the big boys.
Shadows show Moses' cobra confront the magician's snakes. While Hotep and Hoy dance around Moses, his single snake swallows the pair whole.
They love it.
Zipporah glances from cheering Egyptians to her barefoot husband. As Moses picks up the surviving cobra, it hardens to wood in his grip. Rameses stands facing Moses and plants his fist on his hips. He nods for Moses to follow him. Two doors part, and they exit together.
All right, Moses. I know you. What's this really about?
Rameses removes his headdress.
Rameses, look. What do you see?
As Moses views the slaves, Rameses smiles at the city's statues and buildings.
A greater Egypt than that of my father.
That is not what I see.
Rameses sits on a throne.
Moses, I cannot change what you see. I have to maintain the ancient traditions. I bear the weight of my father's crown.
Do you still not understand what Seti was?
He was a great leader.
His hands bore the blood of thousands of children.
Slaves.
My people. And I can no longer hide in the desert while they suffer. At your hands.
Ramses' stern gaze softens.
So, you have returned only to free them.
Moses bows his head and removes the scarab ring from his finger. Stepping forward, he reaches out and lets it drop onto the armrest of Ramses' throne.
I'm sorry.
Ramses frowns at the returned gift. As he holds it up, his gaze grows sorrowful.
Yes. I had hoped.
Frowning severely, he unfolds the ring in his fist, brings it to his lips, and squeezes his eyes shut. He glares at Moses. Ramses stands and puts on his headdress, covering his now fully bald head.
I do not know this god. Neither will I let your people go.
Ramses, please, you must listen.
I will not be the weak link.
Ramses points at Moses and scowls. He marches away, leaving Moses behind, and opens the doors to the grand throne.
Tell your people, as of today, their workload has been doubled, thanks to your god.
Moses gasps.
Or is it thanks to you?
Outside, an elderly slave in the mud hurls a handful.
It's Moses.
The wad hits Moses, and he falls.
Moses!
Zipporah hurries to him.
So, Moses, how does it feel when you get struck to the ground?
Aaron glares at him.
I didn't mean to cause you more pain. I'm just trying to do as God told me.
God? When did God start caring about any of us? In fact, Moses, when did you start caring about slaves? Was it when you found out that you were one of us?
Don't listen to him.
No, he's right. I did not see because I did not wish to see.
Oh, you didn't see because you didn't wish to see. Ah! Well, that makes everything fine then, doesn't it?
Aaron, you shame yourself.
Miriam approaches Moses and Zipporah.
Miriam.
She smiles gently at her long-lost brother.
I'm so sorry.
Moses moves his mouth as if searching for words, then covers his face with his hand. Miriam kneels down to him.
Moses, hear what I say. I have been a slave all my life, and God has never answered my prayers until now. God saved you from the river. He saved you in all your wanderings, and even now, he saves you from the wrath of Pharaoh. God will not abandon you. So don't you abandon us.
Miriam turns, and she and Moses both look up at Aaron. Their lanky brother stands among other slaves, frowning down at them. Staring back calmly, Moses picks up his staff and uses it to get to his feet. His gaze fixes on the distant river, where a royal barge slowly passes. With a stern expression, Moses steps forward. The slaves watch him heading for the riverbank many yards away. Miriam and Zipporah follow.
Miriam, where are you going? Miriam?
Aaron hurries after her, and other slaves following. As Moses moves steadily forward, leaving the skyline of the Egyptian city behind, dozens of slaves follow. Moses halts on the riverbank overlooking the barge. On board, Hotep entertains Ramesses' young son. Ramesses looks on, drinking from a gold cup as he's fanned. Moses hurries to the water's edge.
Ramesses!
Ramesses sits up.
Let my people go!
Still gnawing away at that bone, are we? Carry on.
You cannot keep ignoring us.
Enough. I will hear no more of this Hebrew nonsense. Bring him to me.
Three swordsmen wait ashore.
Moses!
No!
As Aaron holds Zipporah back, the armed guards advance through the waist-high water. On the barge, Ramesses' son stares, slack-jawed. Dark clouds gather behind Moses, whose hair stirs in the wind. Gripping his staff, he peers skyward.
Take the staff in your hand, Moses.
Moses takes the staff in both hands and steps into the water, disregarding the approaching soldiers. He dips the staff into the river, tendrils of crimson red spread out from the point of contact. The bloody stain spreads, and the armed Egyptians halt in the water. Miriam, Zipporah, and Aaron reach the water's edge and gawk at the mysterious sight. One of the guards dips his hand into the river. On the barge, Pharaoh's son does the same and finds his hand coated with blood.
Father, it's...
blood!
The guards frantically rush for the barge. As one falls over, then springs up covered in blood, the Hebrew slaves stare. Ramesses steps to the barge's edge. As the guards desperately grab at the boat, blood splashes the Pharaoh.
Hotep, Hoi, explain this to me.
Rest assured, Your Majesty.
Yes, we are going to demonstrate the superior might of our gods.
Hotep sneakily grabs a fistful of powder and drops it into a bowl of water.
By the power of Ra!
Holding the bowl, Hoi smiles and shows Pharaoh the liquid, which swirls and turns bright red. Ramesses dips his hand into the bowl. He smiles at his coated hand.
Abandon this futile mission, Moses. I've indulged you long enough. This must now be finished.
The water remains clear around Moses, who stares back.
No, Ramesses. It is only beginning.
But Moses, didn't you see what happened?
The priests did the same thing. Pharaoh still has the power over our lives.
Moses rests a hand on Aaron's shoulder.
Yes, Aaron, it's true. Pharaoh has the power. He can take away your food, your home, your freedom. He can take away your sons and daughters. With one word, Pharaoh can take away your very lives.
Many slaves listen.
But there is one thing he cannot take away from you. Your faith.
Among them, Miriam smiles.
Believe, for we will see God's wonders.
The dark clouds drift over the distant palace. A roving view moves toward the palace water garden. The sheer curtains part in the breeze, and cranes take flight. As a servant girl fills a jar in the shallows, bubbles surface all around her. She backs up the steps as hundreds of frogs hop after her, covering the white stone stairs. She flees through an upper room, where Hotep and Hoi eat and drink. Hotep jerks his cup from his lips as insects burst from it. More bugs spread out from a loaf of bread. Now, cattle in the fields drop dead. An Egyptian man wakes up covered in vermin, and Ramesses' guards scramble to escape swarming locusts. As Pharaoh and his son react, the skies grow dark with insects and the city fills with frogs. The citizens cower. Moses stands watchfully on an overlook, gripping a staff.
Once I called you brother. Once I thought the chance to make you laugh was all I ever wanted.
Fireballs rain down on the city's buildings and statues.
And even now, I wish that God had chose another, serving as your foe on his behalf. He's the last thing that I wanted.
Egyptians flee from burning palm tree branches falling downward.
This was my home. All this pain and devastation, how it tortures me inside. All the innocent who suffer from your stubbornness and pride.
In a red sky, invading locusts loom closer. A farmer ducks as the insects swoop down. Ramesses' eyes narrow as his city burns. As people scrounge dead farmland, he and his guards are overcome with sores.
Why must you call down another blow?
Ramesses eyes Moses on a rooftop and storms away. As Hotep and Hoi scratch at the boils on their arms and legs, Ramesses barges in on them, overturns a table of jars and bottles, and commands them to leave. He glares at Moses.
You, who I call brother, how could you have come to hate me so? What you wanted.
As infected Egyptians panic, two children huddle.
Then let my heart be hardened, and never mind how high the cost may grow. This will still be so. I will never let your people go.
A single face shows half of Ramesses and half of Moses. Their profiles face each other. As Moses stands on a rooftop with his staff in hand, the wind stirs his long robes. The towering falcon-headed statue crumbles, and pitch-black darkness spreads over the city like ink. A view moves backward, withdrawing from the blackened city, and passes among the clay and straw homes of the slaves. Incredibly, their modest streets are still brightly lit. Moses treads slowly between the humble houses. He returns to the huge columns lining the palace entryway. Moses finds one marred by a deep, wide crack and runs a hand alongside it. Moses makes his way toward a weak light beyond the columns. He approaches a darkened doorway in the far wall.
Ramesses?
Ramesses sits in a statue's lap.
Ramesses?
Oh, let me guess. You want me to let your people go?
As Pharaoh drinks, Moses looks up at him.
I hoped I would find you here.
Get out!
Ramesses, we must bring this to an end.
Moses takes a few steps closer, staff in hand.
Ramesses, please, talk to me. We could always talk here.
The silhouette of his seated brother remains motionless. Moses hangs his head.
This place. So many memories. I remember the time you switched the heads of the gods of the Temple of Ra.
If I recall correctly, you were there switching heads right along with me.
No, it was you. I didn't do that.
Oh, yes, you did. You put the hippo on the crocodile and the crocodile on the
falcon.
Yes, and the priest thought it was a horrible omen and fasted for 2 months.
father was furious. You were always getting me into trouble.
Ramesses comes down from his perch and marches off. Halting himself, he narrows his eyes at a ring on his finger.
But then... you were always there to... get me out of trouble again.
The two brothers look at each other. Ramesses turns around fully and rests a hand on Moses' shoulder.
Why can't things be the way they were before?
Ramesses' son arrives with a torch.
Father!
The brothers turn.
It's so dark.
Ramesses hugs his son.
I'm frightened.
The boy frowns.
Why is he here?
As Ramesses stands, his son shakes his arm and scowls.
Isn't that the man who did all this?
The young prince glares.
Yes. But one must wonder... why?
Because no kingdom should be made on the backs of slaves.
Ramesses, your stubbornness is bringing this misery upon Egypt. It would cease if only you would let the Hebrews go.
I will not be dictated to. I will not be threatened. I am the morning and the evening star. I am Pharaoh.
Something else is coming. Something much worse than anything before. Please, let go of your contempt for life before it destroys everything you hold dear. Think of your son.
The boy backs up.
I do. You Hebrews have been nothing but trouble. My father had the right idea about how to deal with your people.
Ramesses.
And I think it's time I finished the job.
Ramesses!
And there shall be a great cry in all of Egypt, such as never has been or ever will be again.
Moses goes wide-eyed and winces. The hieroglyphs on the wall show Pharaoh ordering the guards to throw the slaves' babies into the Nile. Ramesses' son gapes, framed between the wall's painted crocodiles. Moses looks down at him and shakes his head.
Ramesses, you bring this upon yourself.
The view of Ramesses, his son and Moses standing before the great mural, fades to black. Outside, the city remains veiled in darkness.
God has come to me again, saying, take a lamb, and with its blood, mark the lintel and posts of every door.
Hebrew men brush blood on the door frames of the slaves' homes.
For tonight, I shall pass through the land of Egypt.
The streets lie deserted.
And smite all the firstborn.
Thin cracks of light show around some of the doors. Miriam, Aaron, Moses, and Zipporah wait inside.
But when I see the blood upon your door,
Moses speaks God's words.
I will pass over you.
He looks out an open window.
And the plague shall not enter.
Moses lets a window shade of twigs unroll. The rustic slave neighborhood lies veiled in shadow, as does a city street of finer buildings. Blood gleams red on the door frames of two slave residences. The larger Egyptian buildings stand as black silhouettes against the horizon. High above them, a glowing white swirl opens in the sky. Tongues of white fire stretch from the center and descend toward the city on the Nile. The river reflects the phenomenon. As two Egyptians watch from a balcony, the fingers of light expand and skim over a blood-marked house. Light and shadows sweep over the unmarked buildings in the city. Two wilted palms lean in a flare of light, then a blood-marked door shuts and goes unvisited. The ghostly light dives and flows along the streets. As it leaves two marked doors alone, a mother and her two children huddle together fearfully. The light stops at their door. When it swoops away, they close their eyes and relax. In a fancy home not marked with blood, the light surges over a mother asleep with her two sons, and the older boy's soul is drawn away with it. The light turns away from the blood-marked door of a shabby dwelling, then enters the open doorway of a two-story house. The first-floor windows glow, then go dark as the light leaves. As a curious slave child lifts a curtain to look at the light, his mother quickly replaces the fabric. An Egyptian boy with a load in his arms disappears into a doorway. The light follows, then departs, and the boy's lifeless arm flops into view on the ground. Now, as the tendrils of light arc toward the palace, two guards by the entryway columns recoil. The approaching light climbs higher and higher like a tidal wave, and the guards flee. As the light courses into the palace, shadows morph on a statue of the pharaoh, darkening the contours of Ramesses' face. Now the lights withdraw from the city, collecting one last soul from the palace. They circle into the night sky, then disappear altogether. In the palace, Ramesses' distant form carries his son's body into a beam of light shining down on a stone table. He stands motionless, then lifts the small body to the surface. Moses steps somberly into the light, carrying his staff. He watches as the child's lifeless head is laid gently on the stone. Then Ramesses' hands draw a shroud over the cherubic face. Hunched over, Ramesses leans on the table with both hands.
You and your people have my permission to go.
As Moses rests a hand gently on his brother's back, Ramesses angrily pulls away.
Leave me!
Moses sorrowfully hangs his head. He closes his eyes and obediently turns away. Moses steps out of the shaft of light and leaves Ramesses alone at the stone table. Ramesses cradles his son's head in his hands and presses his brow to that of his shrouded child. His grief-stricken expression becomes an angry scowl as he gazes after his brother. His breathing quickens and his eyes burn wrathfully. Outside the palace, Moses sluggishly descends the wide stairs, dragging his staff behind him. At the bottom, he drops the staff completely and leans heavily on the nearest wall. He covers his face and crumples to the ground. Later, with lumbering steps, he walks a narrow street between the simple homes of the slaves. Zipporah hurriedly appears in a lit doorway up ahead, sees his sorrowful pace, and slowly steps out to meet him. As they embrace, Miriam joins them outside. With a furrowed brow, the sweet-faced woman steps closer. Moses gives a faint, solemn nod, then bows his head and closes his eyes. Miriam's gentle smile fades into a sorrowful expression, and she sings.
Many nights we've prayed with no proof anyone could hear. In our hearts a hopeful song we barely understood.
Hebrews slowly come outside.
Now we are not afraid, although we know there's much to fear. We were moving mountains long before we knew we could.
Tools at the worksite lie on the ground. Aaron shoulders a bag as he leaves the house.
Who knows what miracles you can achieve?
Miriam pets a child's goat.
When you believe, somehow you will.
Hebrews, young and old, gather before Moses.
You will when you believe.
Zipporah watches the crowd grow. Miriam joins her.
Yet now I'm standing here.
I'm standing
with heart
here.
So full I can't explain. Seeking faith and speaking words I never thought I'd say.
Moses leads the people away.
There can be miracles when you believe.
When you
thousands leave the work sites behind.
Who knows what miracles you can achieve?
Two soldiers drop their weapons.
When you believe, somehow you will.
The Hebrews walk past broken statues and monuments. A little girl helps an old woman to keep walking. The people pass through a narrow gate. A little boy and his goat climb atop a bluff and look out over the thousands in the open desert. A child looks timidly out from under his mother's shawl, then smiles and runs with others. As Moses walks with his staff across his shoulders, a child swings from one end. Moses lets a second child swing from the other. As a boy rides a donkey, a girl chases geese, and a camel licks Aaron's hair. A doll rides in the embrace of a girl who rides on the shoulders of her papa. Two boys ride a wagon, one dangling a leafy branch to keep a flock of sheep following. As three young women dance, another plays an instrument. Moses lifts his staff high. An ambling girl leads two huge oxen on ropes. The people transport water and food. At night, one traveler holds a torch aloft. Aaron comes up behind Moses and rests a hand on his shoulder. Moses lays his hand on Aaron's, and they share a smile. Many people carry torches. A distant view shows hundreds of tiny fiery dots winding up a mountain pass. Moses, Zipporah, Aaron, and Miriam look ahead to a tranquil sea reflecting the sunlight. Among the people, a woman, a man, and a child smile, as do Miriam and Moses. A bird's eye view shows thousands gathered before the calm shoreline, hemmed in to the left and right by craggy rock formations. A water bearer sets down his two jars, a mother puts down her toddler, and a seated man takes off a sandal to massage his foot. The boy with the donkey gives his animal water and caresses its head. As Moses gives an old woman a drink, a man blows a shofar, a trumpet made from a ram's horn. Moses, Miriam, and the people turn alertly. On the distant horizon, Ramesses pulls on his reins, halting the two horses pulling his chariot. Moses briefly shows fear, then stares plainly. The Egyptian army rides into view, kicking up a vast cloud of dust. Many of the Hebrews panic. The toddler's mother scoops the child into her arms and runs. A woman with an infant stares wide-eyed at Moses. Storm clouds bloom in the distance over the water, and the sky darkens. As lightning draws Moses' attention to the sea, a pillar of fire erupts from the water and reaches all the way up to the swirling clouds. Seeing the spectacle, the people brace themselves in the wind. Behind them, a second column of fire drills downward and blocks the Egyptians. As Ramesses tries to ride around it, it easily draws a raging curtain of fire and cuts them off. The Hebrews turn, looking to Moses. The bearded leader gawks and looks left and right, his eyes glancing nervously. His expression suddenly grows calm. Moses' wide eyes relax, and he determinedly turns around to face the water. As he looks at the staff in his two-handed grip, the wind picks up and rushes through his shaggy hair. As the distant column of fire from the sky swirls protectively behind him and the Hebrews, Moses fixes his courageous gaze ahead and steps forward. Zipporah and Miriam gape as he wades into the surf. He stops where the water reaches his knees and uses both hands to hold the staff horizontally overhead. Moses shuts his eyes.
With this staff, you shall do my wonders.
As Moses drives one end into the shallows, the water retreats from around him explosively and takes on the form of a deep bowl with Moses at its center. It climbs skyward, revealing rocks, then splits to form two high walls. The vertical sheets of seawater glisten like silver as they peel back and make a passageway. The Hebrews stare with wide eyes and hanging jaws at the passage opening before them. Wind billows through Moses' robes as he turns around. Among others staring at him, the mother with the infant holds her baby close. A view looking down from way up high shows someone approaching Moses. It's Aaron. He steps toward the miraculous passageway, then looks to Moses with a smile. Moses offers one in reply. Next, Aaron gives the people a single nod and steps calmly toward the parted sea. Zipporah and Miriam share a smile and start forward, as do those behind them. The Hebrews appear as tiny specks before the looming walls of churning water. The constant motion of the sea walls gives them appearance of silver fire. Another view from on high looks straight down between the upward flowing walls. part of the windblown sea holds the shape of rolling hills. On the ground, the Hebrew boy leads the donkey against the wind, and men help each other lower sheep to the exposed seafloor. Elsewhere, a cart's wheel gets lodged in a gap and breaks. Its owner tries to pull it free, but Moses directs him onward. As the people keep to the flat parts of the seabed, Zipporah and others light torches, and a long line of fiery dots results. On the watery wall, flashes of lightning offer a glimpse of a whale and fish swimming nearby. As the helpful little girl stares fearfully, the old woman rests a hand on her shoulder and offers a reassuring smile. The hundreds and hundreds of torch-bearing Hebrews move steadily along the exposed path. As the people gaze about reverently, the hair-hungry camel rests its head on Aaron's shoulder.
Yeah, me too.
Back at the starting point, Moses helps the last person begin to cross. He gapes at the fiery pillar blocking the Egyptian army. As Ramesses snarls from his chariot, the fire disappears into the earth. Ramesses views the parted sea ahead, which glistens like giant angel wings. He gawks at the sight, then wrathfully draws his sword. He leads the charge between the vertically gushing waters. Ramesses drives his chariot down a sharp slope, hitting hard as he reaches bottom. The chariot breaks apart, his horses escape, and he lands belly down in the silt. Standing, he finds himself surrounded by riderless horses and staring soldiers.
Just stand there and kill them!
As the armed soldiers rally and charge, Moses faces the Hebrews.
The soldiers! They're coming!
They hurry from the sword and spear-wielding Egyptians. Miriam and Aaron wait on the other side.
Moses! Hurry! Hurry!
The shore!
The towering waters before them split to reveal dry, sunny land. Moses watches the people ahead of him complete their crossing, then gawks fearfully at the Egyptians fast approaching from behind. A flash of lightning draws his attention skyward. The highest edges of the watery wall spill downward and sweep the hostile soldiers off their feet. The plunging sheets of water curl and foam as they bottom out and all come together, flooding toward Ramesses. His tiny form tumbles backward in the spray. The onrush heaves him up on shore, where he slams flat against the rocks. On the other side, Moses and a little boy run for high ground. The boy trips, but Moses scoops him up and makes it the last few feet just before the water crashes against the land. Moses and the Hebrews look back at the violently churning water. The misty wind whips through their clothes and hair. Zipporah, Miriam, and Aaron stand among the astonished people. The choppy water rolls less and less, and light wind carries mist off the dying swells. Moses gapes wide-eyed at the now normal sea. Miriam, Aaron, and countless others all stare, including the donkey-riding boy, a mother and their two children, and the girl on her smiling father's shoulders. Miriam takes a breath and wraps her arms around Aaron. The rejoicing people cover the land like the trees of a forest. A father hugs his daughter. An old man scoops up sand with both his hands. And the old woman, on her knees, receives a happy hug from the little girl. Moses and Zipporah race into each other's arms. As they relax out of the hug, Aaron grabs Moses from behind and bounces him up and down. Miriam and Zipporah share a hug, too. As they part, Moses makes eye contact with Miriam and goes to her. Miriam meets his faint, humble smile with a radiant grin. The reunited brother and sister hug each other tightly.
Thank you.
As Miriam rejoins Aaron and Zipporah a few feet away, Moses gazes seriously toward the sea and steps closer to the water. Miriam looks curiously after him. She watches his strides carry him lower and lower down a sandy slope. Moses grips his staff as he stops and looks out over the calm water. Alone on the other side, Ramesses kneels on a rock in a hazy ray of light. The image of the isolated ruler fades a little and overlays the view of Moses with his staff. Moses lets out a heavy breath.
Goodbye, brother.
Moses bows his head, then turns away from the sea. Sunlight trims his profile as he looks inland. Walking with Zipporah, Aaron, and Miriam among the people, he draws his wife in close and kisses her forehead. A smiling Miriam shakes a tambourine. Zipporah smiles at her husband.
Look,
Look at your people, Moses.
Both turn and look out over the sea of individuals.
They are free.
Moses returns Zipporah's smile, then takes in the sight again. Staff in hand, Moses stands tall with his feet firmly planted. The Hebrews fade from view, then Zipporah, and finally Moses himself leaving a view of rocky desert mountains. The dramatic clouds in the sky all seem to point at the tallest peak in the middle. Now, Moses' silhouette approaches with the golden sun shining behind him. He holds his staff in one hand and two stone tablets in the other. He passes with calm, steady strides and looks down to hundreds of thousands of people camped out in the broad valley below. As he nears the edge of the overlook, his long robes and scarf sway with each footfall. As Moses halts, a view of him from behind slowly withdraws, fully revealing the magnificent panoramic view. As Moses stands tall over the countless people of Israel, a light desert breeze stirs his robes. Cut to black. Titles appear. Directed by Brenda Chapman, Steve Hickner, Simon Wells. Produced by Penny Finkelman Cox, Sandra Ravines. Executive producer, Jeffrey Katzenberg. Associate producer, Ron Rocha. Original songs by Stephen Schwartz. Score composed by Hans Zimmer. Art directors, Kathy Altieri, Richard Chavez. Production designer, Derek Gogol. Supervising editor, Nick Fletcher. Supervising production manager, Ken Sumura. Production manager, Bill Damashka. Artistic supervisors, story, Kelly Asbury, Lorna Cook. Layout, Lorenzo E. Martinez. Background, Paul Lassane, Ron Lucas. Visual effects, Don Paul, Dan Phillips. Scene planning, David Moorhead. Color models, David Sven Carroll. Scanning, Stuart Campbell. Animation digital final check, Pat Sitto, Shauna Stevens. Digital paint, Jillian Tudor. Music, Mary Latta E. Jacob. Casting, Leslie Feldman. Costume designer, Kelly Kimball. Voice talent, Moses, Val Kilmer. Rameses, Ralph Finnis. Zipporah, Michelle Pfeiffer. Miriam, Sandra Bullock. Aaron, Jeff Goldblum. Jethro, Danny Glover. Seti, Patrick Stewart. The Queen, Helen Mirren. Hotep, Steve Martin. Hoy, Martin Short. Credits roll.
for so long. I've been freaking out, be there where I belong. Hold my head up high, I stand tall. And I swear this time I won't fall. I will do this, no matter what it takes. Cause I know no limitations. And I reach my destination, I will get.
I will get there.
I will get there.
I will get there. Ooh. Somehow. Cross that river.
Cross that river.
Nothing's stopping me now. I will get through the night.
Hey, you know.
And make it through to the other side.
Get there.
Get there.
Oh, yeah.
Get there.
Copyright 1998, DreamWorks LLC, all rights reserved. DreamWorks LLC is the author and creator of this motion picture for purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto, and for purposes of copyright law in the United Kingdom. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Distributed by DreamWorks Distribution LLC. This film has been described by Deluxe, with funding by Universal, voice by Jedediah Barton. Text appears, "Never again did there arise in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord singled out face to face." Hebrew Bible, Deuteronomy 34:10. Moses was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself, New Testament, Acts 7:35. And call to mind through this divine writ, Moses, "Behold, he was a chosen one and was an apostle of God, a prophet." Quran, Surah 19:51.